Yes, this is David Hill, and I'm starting off our Board of Selectmen meeting tonight. And I want to talk about a slightly different format. Since this is a more interactive approach, not our standard meeting, I'm going to leave the screen open like this. Everybody who attends will show up on the screen. And if you choose to, you can suppress your image. Just don't, I can't tell you exactly where to do it, but under your upper right hand corner, you can click that and it will allow you to start your video or not to start your video. And the other thing I want to talk about very briefly is if you're looking at a full screen of all the faces, and you don't want to do that, if you'd like to just see the face of the person who's speaking, you can go to the upper right hand corner of your screen, and where it says view, you can click that, and you can either go to speaker view, where only the person who's speaking shows up and everybody else shows up in little thumbnails, or you can go to gallery view, which is just that, the whole gallery, everybody who's on. So those are kind of the ground rules for tonight. I am gonna mute everybody at this point.
17 so far.
And at the point where we start to raise hands and such.
7 are required, so it's 10. It's 10.
Let's see. Okay, mute all. Okay. There. Okay, so I've muted everybody but me, and I'm going to unmute Donna, all right? Actually, I asked her to unmute, I guess. And she can go ahead. Oh, I think you just muted yourself accidentally. There you go. Okay, so this is kind of a new format for us. Bear with us, and I'll turn it over to Donna.
Before we start the meeting, I just want to say Mark Dyer has been excused because he had a dentist appointment, and because of the fill-in of the channel, he can't get home in time. And we did not plan that as some kind of a political ploy to influence voters, but that's what happened. If you have a question during the at any point, you can raise your hand, and I'm gonna be watching that, and also you can put your hand up in the chat box. And David's going to kind of, while he's presenting, I will be watching the chat box. So, and before, again, this is another before, regarding the second Warren article, which is the first one we're going to talk about tonight, dredging. For those of you who don't know, I must make an apology. In case you haven't heard, I made a $1 million typo in the letter that I sent out last week. So when I said it was 1 to 1.25 million, it was actually 2 to 2.25 million. And thank you, Jade Corson, for picking that up. And the rest of us just read it the way it was. We thought we knew that it said. So thank you, Jay. So I'd like to open this public hearing. The purpose of the meeting. Oh, I didn't do the roll call. Sorry, Mr. Beaupre.
Here.
Mr. Corson.
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Damon? Yes, I'm here. And Chris?
Oh, here.
And Justin Poria?
Here.
Okay. We're not going to go through everybody else, but we have to have the official players here to make sure we can all hear each other. So the purpose of this meeting is to answer your questions regarding the special referendum town meeting to be held from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, January 26. Because of COVID, we can't meet in person to discuss and debate the three warrant articles. This public hearing is your opportunity to ask questions about these three articles, to become better informed before the referendum on January 26, when you will vote in the ballot box, or contact the town office for an absentee ballot. You have both of those options available to you. The three articles are The first one that we'll be actually voting on is number two, a request to transfer $150,000 from the undesignated fund, which is money that's been accumulated from money not used during budget years. And this will supplement the approximately $100,000 that we have in a capital reserve. Combined, the 250 will be available for the first half of our contribution to dredging the Stone Wharf. The next article is to accept drainage easements to help manage the water on Firehouse Road. And finally, to approve a land swap between the town and the Granell family to create more usable lots for both parties. We'll begin the discussion with Article 2, dredging. David Hill will lead that discussion.
Thank you, Donna. I'm going to try to be as simple as possible about this. It's actually more historical than actually controversial. So let me start by saying the last time it was dredged was in around 2001, 2002, around in there. Time before that was 1993. And prior to that, we really didn't need to do a lot of dredging because we didn't have the Islander coming in there. We didn't have the larger ferry boats coming in on a regular basis. So what happened back in around when the town became formed around 2008, 2009, is we were looking forward, we being the new Board of Selectmen, to having the channel dredged in a timely manner so that we wouldn't have any interruptions in service, which we did experience in 1993 and in 2002, 2003. And those are the kinds of interruptions in service that is affecting us tonight and keeping Mark on the mainland. So we're trying to move that forward. When I say we started back in 2008, that process was initiated with the Army Corps of Engineers. And they came out here, they've done studies of the harbor. We've had a good relationship with them, but it seems that time just keeps slipping by, and we've had changes in administrations, we've had changes in the laws, rules and regulations regarding dredging and so forth. And so we have not been sitting on this for the past 10 years. We've been working hard to try to get this job underway. And where we are at the moment is that we have a date sometime at the end of this year to do the dredging. But we've also been told that maybe that's not going to happen, that they may have to wait until 2022, to do that dredging. So that's why we're asking for the support of our public. What they've indicated to us is that personal stories of what this means to them can move us up the list and hopefully get the job done. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean to us? Basically, we're talking about a $2 million plus project. And the reason why we've been pursuing this so doggedly is that that's an 80-20 split with the feds. In other words, the feds will pay 80% of that total cost. The town will pay 20%. And at least under current regulations, what that means is in the future dredgings, which it looks like are going to happen about every 10 years based on our experience in the past 30 years, will be picked up by the Army Corps, by the United States government. So it is certainly to our advantage, given the 80-20 split and given the continued maintenance, to pursue this, even though it's been a rocky road. And I've got somebody else here I'm going to bring in. Okay. So what does this mean to the town? Well, what it means to the town is that we need to come up with, let's see, it was a total... Well, for the time being, we want to come up with $150,000, which we can take out of our undesignated fund account to put with the $100,000 that we already have to come up with basically half or more than half, really, of the 20% that we're going to need for the project. And then when the job is done, we can come up with the rest of it. Let's see, where is that?
The rest of it's the same. Oh, just about the same, David.
That's right. The second percent is due at the end of the project, but can be paid over 30 years. So we will take less of a hit to pay that second half. That's really pretty much the story. I think at this point we would open the floor. You can raise your hand and make any comments or questions that you'd like, and I will try to recognize you.
So anyone who has a question about the dredging, this is your opportunity. Michael.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the expense. I mean, we dredge this, we've always dredged about every 10 years. And earlier than you said, David, about 10 years before that, we dredged it again. And so we have had to dredge it consistently for a long time. But it always cost about $100,000 to do it, more or less. Now we're looking at what? $300,000, $250,000, anyway, quite a lot of money to, I suppose it would give us future, it's supposed to give us future dredging on government's time, not on our government's time. But I would like to point out that the Corps of Engineers hasn't dredged places that it's supposed to dredge, like the Intercoastal Waterway, for quite a long time. They're way behind on that. And that's pretty serious because it's a lot of commercial traffic down there, not just yachts. So I don't see how it suddenly got so expensive and why whether it's really to our advantage to go for this deal or not.
Well, I can tell you because right now there's 385,000 approximately, I might be off by 10,000 or so, just in eelgrass mitigation. That's one thing. I went back today and I've printed off all the emails that we've had since 2009 on this topic. And so I really looked at how this has evolved. And in the beginning, they thought it would be approximately 750,000 plus a contingency, so about $1 million. So it's really doubled in the last 12 years. And so one of the big ones is the eelgrass, and then it's just the cost of everything. Now there's no way that we can afford to, and we've already put in about $80,000, which was half of the study that had to be done. So there's no way that this community can come up with, or we could, but we would do really no other capital projects if we had to dredge every 10 years and pay close to $2 million.
And Donna, yes. If I could ask, the dredging that was done prior to this was by the town of Cumberland. Do you happen to know how much the town of Cumberland paid?
I can't remember. I can go back and find that out. If anybody wants to know that, I can go back and find that. But
it was right around $100,000, David, per time.
That might have been in the 90s. I think it was more than that in the 2000s.
It might have been. That's what it was when I was more involved with it.
But it is what it is. I mean,
I understand that. I got you there. That's what it is. And the eelgrass mitigation is something I hadn't thought about, I'll tell you.
Well, come to find out, they did an eelgrass study as part of this too. I mean, this is what's taken so long because of all these studies. Yeah. And the Stone Wharf and probably around the boatyard, according to their study, when you look at the map, probably has the most eelgrass of any places around. So that's part of the issue. And then just to top that off, we've just found out that we have to work with the golf course and try to figure out, we don't own the fee in the flats that need to be dredged. So that's another issue they've raised. But I'm gonna turn this back to David. He's the person who's doing this.
Well, I see Eliza Jane has her hand up.
I do, and I have a question. If it's going to cost this much every 10 years, again, it just points to a long-term solution. And how far out is the dredging from the location of where the CTC ferry is docked? And would it make a difference to move further out where the ferry docks? I mean, is it deeper at the next dock down if we move to the ramp? I wonder if there are some of the outside of the box.
Well, let me reiterate that this is theoretically a one-time expense for the town, the initial dredging, and that dredging in the future, again, there's no guarantees, we're dealing with the government here, but the way the program works right now, future dredgings would be at no cost to the town, which is one of the attractions of this program, aside from the fact that they've more or less taken control of dredging in these areas.
Just to add to that, Eliza Jane, they will be dredging all the way to the barge ramp. They have to dredge that, or we won't be able to barge.
Okay,
and
thank you.
They plan to make a bigger turning basin where the barge ramp is, which is why we need to work with the golf course.
And let me ask everybody, if you'd like to participate, just raise your hand and you'll come to the top of the list and I'll recognize you. Well, it would appear that nobody has any real questions about this program. It certainly is necessary to the continued health of the island. Here's Jen. And you can unmute yourself.
Hi, David and all. It's actually Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul.
I wanted to ask a few questions of the group, but first I wanted to reinforce that what Michael stated, that once you're on the Army Corps list for regular periodic dredging, there's absolutely no certainty that that's physically going to be accomplished. There are locations all over the United States. They haven't been touched, okay? For decades. But first and foremost on this project, I guess I'm disappointed in the lack of information provided to the public on this. It is, you know, by far and away one of the most expensive projects we've contemplated to date. People are being asked to make a commitment to it, and yet there's virtually no information provided on the scope or extent. I did see some preliminary information on the arrangement of the basin or the channel, but clearly there were ways within that scope in the preliminary diagrams to minimize the eelgrass impact. I do think I'm the only one on the island who has paid for eelgrass mitigation and can also say with certainty that there are ways to minimize the impact. It's as simple as avoiding it. All right, so the aligned channel, the actual channel, and the potential one drawn by the Army Corps need to be investigated. And I guess one thing that I have not seen is an actual study or concrete data of the depths that exist at this time. During a planning board meeting, we had a consultant named Tim Forrester with Atlantic Environmental comment that he has a portable rig, okay, GPS synchronized with calibrated depth sensors, and he could map the whole area very quickly. I think it would help, especially in light of the fact that the ferry is asking people to write letters, if we actually had data on how deep the channel is and where the areas of impact currently are. So I would suggest, even if people think if it's late in the game, to hire a consultant. He'll save you more money than he costs you, and that would help get more information to the public.
Paul, we're waiting for the final report from the Army Corps, which will have most of that information in it. We've seen like a rough draft, but they would not let us release that to the public. And so they supposedly have finished it, but they haven't sent it to us. As soon as they send it to us, we will send that out to the public, but it should be coming anytime. And that might help with some of that information.
I'm sure that'll help, but isn't a little premature to ask people to spend the money before they know where it's going?
If we do not have the ability in February to say that we have the financial capacity to pay the first 10% payment, we absolutely will not be on the schedule for this year. We're not even sure we will be, but we have to be able to sign a contract in February that says that we are on, that we have the financial capacity.
Okay, I understand that cycle, but back to the actual problem versus the claim problem, do the selectmen have the data that indicates, okay, the water available for transit, or are we all working upon the opinions or hearsay around the island? How well has it been mapped, and where is the problem?
That's what I just said. The Army Corps has it all mapped, and we saw a preliminary report which we were not allowed to release because it was draft form, and they told us that we would have one in December. I've been in contact today. I actually got a note from them that said that they are sending us the notice and the report. It's not because we haven't asked over and over and over again for it, but so hopefully within the next few days, we will have something.
Thank you.
Hey, Sue Hale, if you would like to unmute yourself,
Am I?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep, please do.
In addition to what Paul Beleska said this evening, the Army Corps has a lot of projects on their hand, and we might be on the top list, we might be at the bottom, and they might not really pay attention. Writing to the Army Corps is not, in my belief, is the correct way. We should write to our senators, and I don't know if the chair, Donna Damon, and all the selectmen would mind if we wrote to Susan Collins, who is head of the Appropriation Committee. She is dealing with funding globally and locally and nationally, so a letter to her would awake her to the attention, and she might locate funding for the state of Maine, and we might be lucky for Chibik.
I think that would be a great idea, and we have been in contact. We've been writing to all of our congressmen. It was suggested to us by the Army Corps representative that we've worked with for the last 12 years, Mark Cable, who sent us the contact information that we put on, have circulated. And he said it was really important for the Army Corps to see how the community was being negatively impacted, because the studies that they do are economic studies, and we qualified for that, but not to the extent that he feels that when the people who make the decisions in the Army Corps hear the stories about people being late for work, kids having to leave school early, rescues being interrupted, all of those kinds of stories. This was not our idea, this was their idea at the Army Corps. And so I think it would be great to write to all of the senators and the congressmen. In fact, Shelley Pingree's representative to the Army Corps has been helping us through this process. So that would be great. But those letters are really important, because even after the board of selectmen wrote a letter to the Army Corps, they wrote back and said, this is great, but we need to hear from the people.
And if I could add to that, you will find on Beverly's website a template with the address for the for the contact to write to, as well as a in Donna's typically historical fashion, a blow-by-blow discussion of how this has happened over the years, what's involved, and what it's all about. So if you do have questions about how we got here, that's the place to look, as well as a place to find the address for communications. And let's see. Beverly has her hand up. Go ahead, Beverly.
I just wanted to correct you. It's on CHEBWeb. I did put a link to the CHEB website where Chip has made template. Thank you.
And is that where they'll also find Donna's history of the situation?
I don't know if that's on there, but that's on my website.
I thought I sent Chip something too. Eliza Jane has a question. We do not have an email address for John Kennelly. They did not give us an email address. They gave us a regular snail mail address.
Okay. Next in line is Kim.
Yeah. Hi everyone. I had a quick question. I understand that we're dipping considerably into some savings for this project. And I'm just wondering if there are other projects on the horizon that might be at risk because we're using these funds, and if we need to be doing anything to sort of get prepared or do some mitigation around those sooner rather than later.
Kim, I can answer that question. One way the town could be impacted is in the past, we have used some of those funds to reduce the tax burden. Each year we've taken some years we've taken anywhere from 50 to 150,000 to offset taxes. The positive side of that is people have to pay less, and it's really their money coming back to them. The downside of it is that oftentimes people don't understand how the expenses in the town have gone up. And so if in fact we can't mitigate that this year, there could be a tax increase.
And I see that it's probably Paul has his hand up again. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, David. I just wanted to offer that right now the people of Chabig Island being impacted by decisions being made by the local ferry company. And I should think that if the effort is to communicate the severity of the problem on the island to the Army Corps, it would be beneficial if the ferry would run the schedule 24/7, 365. I'm not debating the requirement or the need to notify the Coast Guard in the event, okay, that the captain feels that he has grounded the vessel. But I think it would be great if CTC called the Coast Guard every time they think they hit bottom. We all know it's soft. It's what has silted in over the years. Create a record of incidents that exist for this situation. And that, I believe, would have more credibility than letters from the general public about a perceived problem. Thank you.
Well, Matt's on here. Matt, would you like to respond to that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. So like Paul, I would like to see a more finalized plan before this town is voting. And, you know, I'm a taxpayer, just like everybody else here is voting to spend a whole lot of money. Unfortunately, that's not what we have in front of us right now. And we understand that the dredging schedule is going to be what it is. And if we don't vote on this now to allocate these funds, we are not going to be on the schedule for 2021, the fall of 2021, going into the winter of 2022. So I understand, you know, his frustration with that. I'd love to see a more detailed plan. That being said, in regards to running the boat at times where we know that we're going to go aground, our captains are not going to do that. We've spoke to the Board of Selectmen going back at least 5 years, maybe 6 years now. I remember going with the captains of CTC at the time about 5 years ago and saying we have a responsibility as the captains of this passenger vessel. And one of the responsibilities is to not go aground. Every time you do that, you have to report it to the Coast Guard. There's a potential, and we've seen this happen a few times over the past couple of years. When we do go aground, we report it to the Coast Guard. They tell us that we can't run the ferry until they come inspect the boat. They come inspect the boat, they get into the holds, they make sure nothing happened. We know that the bottom is, you know, in the channel where here, it is soft, it is silted in. That being said, that there's other impacts to running aground or operating in really shallow water. The boat becomes far less maneuverable operating and different wind conditions can present a hazard at lower tides. There's also the potential, and what we've actually seen is where we are far more likely to pick up stuff off the bottom. If we're right now, we don't have maybe the data that we'd like to see from certified, you know, bottom surveyors or whatever, but the CTC captains have gone out and sounded ourselves that channel. We sounded at different tides and extrapolated based on what tides we were sounding out, what the water depths would be at different tides. There's no question that a tide's lower than minus 1 foot right now. We are pushing through the mud with literally no water underneath us. If anything is dropped off the commercial float that's right in front of us, such as, you know, any kind of lobster gear or anything like that, we're picking it up in a wheel, and that's in a couple of years ago, it stopped us from running. We had to cancel trips for a morning. So it's, you know, it's more than just, it's more than just a simple matter of knowing that we're going to run the boat aground, running the boat aground and reporting to the Coast Guard. It's knowingly running the boat aground, which seems to me is a negligent thing to do. It's not something our captains are going to ever do. So that's kind of where we stand with that. Captains have a unique role that's maybe different than other employees, and they're tasked with the responsibility to deem whether a trip is safe to make. And we've had captains in the past, a couple of years before we implemented this policy, before we saw and gathered our own empirical evidence that the channel had silted in enough that we were running through the mud. Captains individually were making the decisions to not run trips on low tides. Once the conditions have deteriorated to where they are now, the company decided to take instead of putting that responsibility on the individual captains. And after meeting several times with all the captains of CTC and developing a consensus of where everyone felt comfortable running the trips, that's kind of where we have set our threshold now. And we try to make it as predictable as possible so people can kind of plan around it. It's an untenable situation. And when I'm making these schedules, you know, based on the consensus that all the captains have come up with on when we are not going to run trips, it's I hate it. It's one of the worst things that I have to do. It when I hear rescues go off that aren't going off on our boat, I hate that too. I hate it way more if I was hearing a rescue go off on our boat and the boat grounded out and that rescue patient was stuck on our boat that was aground. The situation is untenable. And for that reason, CTC, you know, obviously feels strongly that this is something that we need to, as a town, do. As a company, we don't have a lot of control over the dredging. But as an organization that has a strong interest in the dredging of this channel, we think that we need to do it immediately, just as soon as possible, to minimize any further impact on this community and our company. So I'm happy to answer any other questions that anybody else might have.
Thank you, Matt. Anybody who wants to ask a question of Matt or of Donna or me, please raise your hand. Well, I'm going to assume that we're happy with the dredging discussion at this point, and I would suggest that we move on, Donna.
Yes, and if we, as I said, if we get that report, we will certainly put a link on Beverly's website and on the town website for that. We're as frustrated as you are that we do not have that. Okay, the next.
Well, before we go on, we do have Jen Hamilton has her hand up.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jen. What happened to you? You're gonna have to unmute yourself.
Okay, there I go.
There you are.
Okay, I just wanna say that I think it would be helpful if you had people identify who they are. I mean, I don't think we should always assume we know who everybody is. I'm sitting here watching and all of a sudden I heard way back, okay, Jen wants to speak. I thought, oh my God, I do? Well, it turned out it said, then it said Jen Valeska. Well, then it wasn't Jen Valeska, it was Scott Valeska. And then Paul. And then we heard from someone, Kim. I don't know who Kim is. So I'm just kind of asking if we can, if it goes further, that people identify who they are, because we really shouldn't assume we all know each other.
Well, I apologize for that. I should give the full name. And it's all Paul's fault because he had Jen's name up there as the on the screen.
Well, I knew it wasn't Jen, but I knew it wasn't me also. Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jen. That was a good point. All right, so now we're moving on to Bo is going to talk about drainage easements off from Firehouse Road and what that means.
So I'll just read what was sent to you. This is the proposed of this article is to enter into drainage agreement with Roy and Susan Jackson and John Riley. Both properties are on Firehouse Road and have been negatively impacted by water flowing off the road. This agreement will allow the town to enter the properties to deroute the water and maintain the ditches when necessary. So this has been a problem, speaking with Roy and stuff a few years ago when the town was with Cumberland. There were some culverts that were added, and apparently water rerouted. Due to the large storms we've been getting lately, everybody can attest to that one. It started going next to Roy's house, kind of just in a swale, like a little trickle that would go down. Now it's a 2 foot deep ditch, 2 feet by 3 feet wide, some places even deeper and wider. On the opposite side of his property between Lindy and Roy, that one there is even deeper. Every rainstorm, it just keeps progressively, it's draining all the North Road pretty much from Firehouse up, and it's just catching up speed and there's nothing to slow it down. And we're just looking to get the town, get these easement in place so the town can slow the water down that's being sent in between these properties. Any questions?
So this is your opportunity to ask Bo, because he understands this better than the rest of us.
Yeah,
Is there anyone who has, do you see any hands, David?
No, I see no hands. And if you do want wish to speak, please click the raise hand down at the bottom, that little yellow hand, and we'll see you and recognize you. But okay. It sounds like everybody's happy with that drainage easement.
Yes. So thank you. What this does is it allows the town to go on and maintain those if we have to. And so that's really, and it's an obligation to the town. So thank you, Bo, you did a great job. Now, the next one is regarding the land transfer between, or the land swap really, between the town and the Grannell family. And Jay's been involved in this right since the very beginning. And I think it may have even been his idea or somebody on his committee's idea. And so I'm going to turn it over to Jay.
Okay, so let's start out. So everybody knows where we're talking about. You're driving west on North Road and you pass Division Point Road. And Division Point Road, the town owns the property on either side of Division Point Road. And then there is a very long, narrow strip owned by the Grannell family. And as soon as you get past that sort of 50-foot wide strip, there is a large chunk of property that the town acquired through foreclosure. And when that occurred and when all of the liens were released and we owned the property clearly, in the process of that, the town acquired property committee sat down with the Grinnells because they own this narrow little strip, which is not much good to them because you can't do anything with it. And it bisected what was the currently owned and the newly owned property by the town. And we sat down with them, and what we did was we said, why don't we take your narrow strip, which you can't do anything with, and we'll consolidate that and give you a piece that you can actually build on. So they owned, the strip totaled 3 acres. And what we did was we made the proposal to them that we would swap. They gave us their strip and we would give them a piece, which gave them a 3-acre lot on Division Point Road at the bottom, you know, down Division Point Road somewhere. And what this did was it gave the town a large piece that they owned in its entirety, all on North Road and going down Division Point Road, and consolidated the town holdings so that we've got a very usable piece of property without any issue of it being cut in half. And the Grinnells ended up with a buildable lot, which they hadn't had previously. And it was one of those situations where everybody wins. You know, it's really nice to talk about things where everybody comes out ahead. And so that this is one of them. So this requires the town to turn around and say, because it's basically an exchange of property, which is a sale and a purchase after a fashion, the town needs to approve it. And so we're at that point now where we're asking the town to approve this property exchange. And it's just, it's sort of a no-brainer. Everybody comes out ahead. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Jay. So this is the opportunity for you to ask questions about this land swap, if you have any questions. This will allow the town to accept a piece of property and the Grannells to receive a piece of property and vice versa. Do you see any hands, David?
I don't see any hands, but again, if you'd like to speak, scroll down to the bottom of your screen and click on the yellow hand, raise hand, and then I will know that you want to be recognized.
There is one other little bit that I need to add to this, that part of this property exchange includes a small triangular piece, which is across North Road, which actually gives the town a full half acre piece. The town owned parts of it. And again, it was divided by this long narrow strip that the Grinnells own, so that it also gives us a half acre piece right across the street that we own, which is a sellable lot.
What is that abut, Jay?
North Road, and it's
Roy Hill, isn't it?
Roy Hill, yeah.
Yeah, it's right on that corner.
Right on the corner, nice little triangular piece.
Yeah, and it is buildable and it's dry there. So, you know, that's an asset to the town. And as Jay said, this has been a win-win, and the Grannels have paid half of all the surveys and the legal bills, and we've really been in it as partners. I think it's an excellent model for us as a town to go forward. And again, I want to thank Jay and his committee for coming up with this idea and following through and doing the work. So, last call for questions on this. Okay, on the Grannels. Thank you, Jay. So we're going to say one more time. Are there any other questions about any of these three articles or anything else that you want to talk about? This is your opportunity. I just thought I saw a hand go up someplace.
That's Beth. Just unmute yourself, Beth, and let's hear what you have to say.
Good evening.
Beth Wiles.
I'm sorry I came in late. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I just wondered if perhaps, I'm not sure if this has been discussed in the past, but in regards to the writing to the different, to the person there regarding the dredging, from experience, I'm wondering if it wouldn't behoove the town to ask if the public was willing to send their letter, a copy of their letter to the town, so that you would have that copy. For future, it may be beneficial to contact our senators with this concern. And I know they're right in the midst of a lot of other things right now. But having gone to the State House with a concern for other companies, we had those letters all together and were able to present those. So it's a thought that I wish I had presented, you know, a month ago when you put this in, but I do think it would be nice to have those for future need if we were to reach out, because I've seen where Susan Collins was instrumental in a breakwater up to, I believe it was Lubec. Mm-hmm. And I think that it might be beneficial for us with this being a concern or a need.
Thanks, Beth. We did talk a little bit about that. We've been involved with the congressional delegation ever since we started back in 2009. We started, we had to get their backing to even get into this program. And most recently, we have reached out to the congressional delegation, and Shelley Pingree's representative on the Maine Island Coalition is actually her representative to the Army Corps meetings. And so that has something to do with why we're even at where we are in possibly getting on a list in the near future. So that's a great idea. Anyone who wants to can send a copy of their letter to the town, and the town would hold those. We have had several organizations and several individuals who have sent copies of their letters to us.
I think it's really important for the future. And I can't say that I've always thought we've been right on this. I don't want to go back and dig things up, but we spent a lot, many months on other things. And I think if this is of serious nature, I hope you'll encourage people, because I think you, in the end, with those copies, it would help a lot.
Thank you. We have been since 2009 continually working on this project, you know, so it's been very frustrating for those of us. I can't tell you, I've got a stack of emails here I've printed off since 2009 or 8, I guess was the beginning, just so that in case anybody had a substantive question, I could go back and say, where were we at such and such a point? And the number of emails that we've written just in 2020 is, and telephone calls that we've made. And it's been at least 3 harbor masters have put an incredible amount of work in here, from Claire to Ron Tozier to Gennaro. Town administrators going back to Scott Seaver, Eric Dyer, Marjorie, and now Justin, and it's in Board of Selectmen who have taken the lead on this over the years. It has been very frustrating. And perhaps if we had known how long it would take, we wouldn't have got into it in the first place. But if in fact we hadn't got into it, and we had to dredge, if we're talking $2 million, that's an incredible amount of money every 10 years. It's really frustrating. And I don't, you know, whether we even get dredged, even if, whether we get on the list this year or not, I don't know. And as Michael and Paul have both said, even though we're on the list, doesn't mean that we're not going to have to every 10 years fight this battle to explain and, you know, get them to take us seriously that we need this channel dredged.
I guess the only other comment, and then I'll be quiet, but the other, when I stepped into the meeting, I know Matt Ridgway was speaking about the individual work that they've done, but then he said that they had not had a professional party come in and do some sounding, and I think that should be done. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, we're waiting for the report from the Army Corps. They've actually done all that. They have the maps and the charts and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. They know, they've been able to figure out how many cubic feet they have to take out. One of the questions, going back to Michael's question about why did it cost so much more in addition to the eelgrass, was they've actually expanded what they have done in the past. Not significantly, but it's, and I don't want to quote exactly how it's going to be. You need to look at the maps. Some of it has to do with around the barging and going up into the cove further. So there will be a little bit more work than what we had done in the past. The other thing is, I think when we did it in 2002, it was called, and Michael can correct me if I'm wrong, it was a maintenance dredge, which is different than a full-fledged whatever we're doing now. And the problem is where we have to do it, because it's taken so long, it's filled in so much, we can't just do a maintenance dredge. Either Michael or Paul probably can, they may understand what I'm trying to say, but I'm not technically adept at this, but that's kind of the essence.
Okay, we have, what happened? Chris Loader had his hand up. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. I was actually going to make the comment about doing a deeper, better, longer warranty dredge job, and Don actually just came out with the information. That's why I dropped my hand. But it sounds like we're doing a better dredge job, which should give us a longer return.
That's our hope.
Yep. Great. Thanks. Yep.
Okay. Well, Donna, what do you think?
Well, I don't see anything else. I just really want to thank everybody who came today. If you have any more questions, we put on Beverly's website today, kind of a, as I was going through all these emails and things, kind of a history of the project of, over time. It's not in the kind of detail that we could do, but it gives you a general idea. But, you know, as I said, as I went through all these emails today, and these were just ones that I could find in my own personal email. When you see the number of people who have tried to work on this, and the one person who's been involved in it all the way is Mark Habel from the Army Corps of Engineers, who is right now still advising us. And he's the one who told us to start the letter writing campaign to let people know how people's everyday life was impacted. And it's up to you whether you write a letter or not, but and feel free to send those same letters to the congressmen and senators. And as Beth said, it would be great to send a copy to the town so we have it on file. So I guess that's, and I just hope you all either vote by absentee or go to the polls that day. And these are three serious issues that we need to deal with. And it's up to the town's people what they want, where they want to go with these. Anyone from the board have anything they want to say before we sign off?
Good night.
One thing I want to say is I think that the board is unanimous in supporting the idea of getting this dredging done. And I can't speak for everybody, but I have not heard anybody who has said, no, we shouldn't dredge. So, Bo, do you have your hand up?
Yes, sorry.
And Michael's got his hand up.
I don't know how you want me to do it. I just wanted to thank everybody for participating tonight. There's quite a few, and it's nice to see, at least see the names of the people participating tonight.
Thanks. Michael?
Yeah, I was skeptical about the amount of money. Maybe I still am, but I think we've got to do it. At this point, we don't have a lot of alternatives. And even if we just did the same thing we've done over the last time, number of times we've had it dredged, it would be more expensive than then, plus the eelgrass, plus everything else. So yeah, I think we should go ahead and do it.
Thank you. David?
Yeah, I was going to say almost exactly what Michael said. It may be a bitter pill to swallow. It's a lot more money than we'd like to spend or even thought we were going to spend, but it's vital to the survival of the island. We can't be missing boats. We can't have people missing work. We can't have the disruption that even missing a couple of low tides a month causes, and it's only going to get worse. So I fully support this as a necessity, even if it's a tough pill to swallow, as they say. Now, Mary Holt also has her hand up, so I would ask her to unmute and say her piece.
I just want to thank you all for your diligence. I know how difficult it is to keep at it and to be given hope and then it slides away. My term as select person was up in 2013 and I had already been in on that study and discussion from the time I started. So thank you. And perhaps it's getting closer.
Well, with your help, I hope it will be.
Thanks, Mary. Anyone else? Okay, so I guess I'll end this public hearing. And again, thank you all for being here. Thanks to the staff for being on, Justin and Chris. And if you have, as I said, if you have questions, you can call the town office. You can contact any of the selectmen. And like I said, as soon as we get that report, we will get that out so everyone can see it.
Night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.